As we continue to unravel the theme for the year, which is "Be ye holy as I am holy," I shall be talking to you this morning on the topic, holy living. Holy living. Let us pray. Father Lord God, as we go into your word, I pray that your people shall see you in me. They shall hear you through me. And let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto you this morning, O Lord, and be a blessing to your people. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In translation, usually, there is the tendency to lose meaning. And I think it happens here with the word holy. Holiness in Hebrew, which is a noun, is kodesh. And the adjective holy is kadosh. Why have I gone into this? It's because the meaning has two components, two contrasting components. The first is separation from profane things, evil things. And the second component of it is to be set apart, to be separated to God. You can't take one and leave the other. The two must go together. You must be separated from profane things, and you must be separated to God. Because a moralist can come to you and say, yes, I don't do evil things, I don't lie, I don't do this. But the second part, if it is not fulfilled, you cannot say it's holy. And that will set the foundation for our topic this morning, holy living. Our God is holy. And as the transcendence nature is high and above, and he also has the immanent nature he wants to live within his people. And that is why he instructed, when the tabernacle was to be created, thou must leave a space for me, which is called the Holy of Holies. And here, thereafter, we find out that holiness, let's look at what holiness means in the Old Testament. Leviticus chapters 17 to 25, which the scholars called holiness code, contains everything about holiness. God gave to us the Ten Commandments and also what we call the holiness code. And this includes, thou shalt not touch dead things, unclean things, time to abstain from sexual relations, and so on and so forth. Unfortunately, when it comes to the commandments, there is no 9 over 10. If a student goes to school and scores 9 over 10 or 8 over 10, he is a candidate for distinction or first class. Unfortunately, when it comes to the laws of God, that is not. Whether you score 9 over 10, or you score 0 over 10, or you score 3 over 10, you are in the same group. Because the scripture says in James chapter 2, verse 10, for whoever keeps the old law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking it all. The power of uncleanness was so high that if you are unclean, if you are clean and you touch a dead body, are an unclean person, you automatically becomes unclean. It is in this mystery we find ourselves. unable to please God. And therefore, we could see in the New Testament, the scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have an everlasting life. The scripture says, even for while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So all we need was just to accept him by faith. And then we become adopted children of God. And by this adoption, we claim we have the right to the righteousness of Christ, to the holiness of God. And this holiness must be maintained. And in order to maintain this, Christ promised us the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14, verse 26. John chapter 14, verse 26. He said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, the helper, to guide, to lead, comfort, teach us, and bring to our remembrance all the things that he has taught us. So, in Romans 8, verse 1, Romans 8, verse 1 to 4, the scripture says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So when you come to Christ, you have the righteousness of Christ. You have the holiness of Christ. But then you have to continue to walk in the Spirit. Verse 2 of Romans 8 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. If you see from verse 1 to 4, it kept referring to flesh, Spirit. Flesh, Spirit. So let me ask, what does it entail to walk in accordance with the Spirit of God? To walk in accordance with the Spirit, it means total surrender, total submission to the authority of the Spirit. Separation from evil things and being separated to God. It means you are going to dump your own interest. It's not going to be me, myself, and I, but what God wants, even when it is not comfortable. Jesus was asked, in Matthew 22, verse 36, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And he says the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord with all your heart. Yes, I can understand that. With all thy soul. Yes, I can understand. But mind, And if we look at the writings of Apostle Paul in Romans, and even Apostle Peter and in 1 Peter, they kept referring to the word mind, mind, mind. What it is about this mind? And I found out that the mind is the center of consciousness, is the seat of imagination, perception, thinking, judgment, language, memory, and even the five senses are all linked to your mind. If a man will come to Christ, either he hears the word of God through the ear, or he reads the word of God, but then there is processing in the mind before it is transferred to the heart to receive. And if a person is also going to see, for example, let's look at King David. He went to the balcony. He was looking around and he saw a beautiful woman having a bath. What did he use to see it? The eyes. And then it's linked to the mind. And then it began to process. And it went, we know how it ended. The mind is directly linked to the external environment. And I'm sure most of us, when we want to do home insurance, you will see they ask your door, what type of lock is there? Because the mind is linked to the external environment, the mind is the door to our heart. The mind is the door to our heart. And that is why it must be properly secured. And that is why Jesus said, with all your mind. So if we want to live holy lives, if we must shun profane things, our mind must be properly secured. First Peter that was read to us, he said, guard the loins of your mind. Be alert. Every person who fails to properly guard his mind will fall into trouble. Let us look at what the scriptures tells us in Romans 8, verses 5 to 8. Again, let's hear what the scripture says. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds, you can see again, mind set on what the flesh desires. And those who live with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind that is governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. So the mind becomes again the battleground for the spirit and for the flesh. Inasmuch as you use your very good lock and key in order to ensure that you shut away the intruders, your mind must be properly secured. So the first question is, who governs your mind? Is it the spirit or the flesh? Even after you have come to Christ, you must continue to ensure that your mind is governed by the Spirit of God. That is why Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And then the next verse, it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So it is a continuous process that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The renewing of the mind is a continuous process. When you come to Christ, for us to live a holy life dedicated to God, separated from evil, we need the Spirit of God. So, let us look. What are the profane things that we need to be separated from? Galatians 5, 19 to 21. We have the checklist there. Galatians 5, 19 to 21. The scripture says, now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, reveries, and the like of it, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That is the checklist. And we can still add more to it now. Pornography. All forms of abuses. Sexual abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse, psychological abuse. Name it. That is the checklist. And it is not about the letter of the law. We also need to consider the spirit of the law, the spirit containing these things. Jesus said, it's not a matter of saying, oh, I move into a woman's and I have anything with her. But he says, even when you look at a woman lustfully, even if you have not slept with her, you have already committed that sin. Those who use the computer, they always use antivirus. When you bring in antivirus into your computer for the first time, or whether first time or always, the antivirus will do what? We scan the system. We scan every folder, every file within that system. And what will the antivirus do after that? It will quarantine all suspect files. Can we also ask the Spirit of God to scan our lives? We do need the Spirit of God to scan our lives. And give us the report in order to quarantine, delete totally things that we still hold on to. When a ship is traveling and it carries so much cargo, if such a ship encounters problem, what happens? It will be difficult to maintain such ship. If we read the Acts of Apostles, Apostle Paul had similar experience. And what did the captains begin to do? They started to throw into the sea excess luggage, those cargo. So let me ask, what are the things we need to throw into the sea so that we can be free? We are in Christ, but yet we still carry excess luggage. What excess luggage are you carrying? What cargo do you need to throw into the sea? And the Spirit of God just dropped something into my heart now. Many of us, we do carry the sin of unforgiveness. Yes, the person did something that is horrible. I agree with you. The impact of what was done or what was not done wrecked your life emotionally, physically, financially. You have been totally wrecked. I agree with you totally. But you must let go. If you do not let go, your own healing will not begin. Who is that person you need to forgive? Please, I beg you in the name of God, let go. Let go. Let go. Let go. So, how do we live holy life? I'm going to suggest 5 ways here. The first one is obey the word of God totally to live the holy life. We hear the word of God either through sermons, through our own private Bible study, or by going to small groups. Joshua 1:8. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. It says, this book of the Lord shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have a good success. Many people are passive hearers of the word of God. But you need to be active so that you just don't hear, but you become what? The doers of the word of God. How do I deal with my neighbor? How do I deal with my own life? How do I deal with my children? In the office. Why? Your life, my life, should be a worship unto God. lives on a daily basis. It should worship God. Many people knew the scriptures. They can quote the scriptures completely. But check the fruit that comes out of their life. Does it worship God? Judas Iscariot, he was a disciple of Christ. He went with Christ everywhere, listened to the various sermons preached by Christ. But yet, he lost it. As we have everywhere, every church, we have the crowd and we have the disciples. If you must live a holy life, then you've got, I cannot decide for you. I cannot even decide for my wife. I can only decide for myself. Am I in the crowd or am I a disciple of Christ? The second way of living a holy life is to disconnect from the world. Remember when we read Romans 12:2, it tells us, do not conform to the world. Your own identity is in Christ Jesus. Do not blend. Do not compromise. What do we have in the world today? They celebrate sin. If you love God, you will love what God loves. You will dislike what God dislikes. Do not compromise. You know, when the plane takes off, okay? The higher it goes, you just see that the things of the world becomes what? Smaller. The things on the ground. Irrespective of how big the mansion could be, or the skyscraper could be, as soon as you go higher, what becomes? It gets smaller. So when you go higher in the Lord, the things of the world become smaller. It becomes smaller. Do not conform. The thought is flee from temptation. The scripture says abstain, 1 Thessalonians 5, 21-22, abstain from every form of evil. God promised us there is no temptation that can overcome us. He will provide a way of what? Of escape. Many a times we use the GPS when we are traveling, isn't it? But if you are traveling with your family, and you are enjoying a very wonderful conversation or music, if the GPS pops up and says there is 15 minutes or 20 minutes delay on that road, click accept in order to take an alternative route. If you are not sensitive enough to pick what the GPS is saying, what is going to happen? It will go. When the Holy Spirit pops up talking to us, there is a way of escape here because temptation is over there. Do you deliberately ignore or are you carried away by temptations, by distractions, noise, things that look good, and therefore you weren't sensitive enough to pick what the Holy Spirit is telling you? In the words of Pastor Ian, he will say, the discernment. Are you able to discern what the Holy Spirit is telling you? It is our duty, our responsibility to run from temptation. Let's look at what Psalm 1, verse 1 says. Psalm 1, verse 1. It says something. It said, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Walk. Huh? In the counsel of the ungodly. Two, nor stands in the path of sinners. Okay? And three, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Walks, stands, sits. Look at all the things associated with it. The fourth way via which we can live a holy life is through the Holy Spirit, prompting us through the motivation and encouragement of fellow Christians in the church, in the small groups. You know, in the small groups, you can share your experience. This is what I'm passing through. People will pray with you. They will encourage you. They will motivate you. But if you don't attend, if you don't go there, who do you talk to? Then you begin to talk to people who will lure you away from Christ. The fifth way is Holy Spirit can prompt you through accountability. We must be able to have somebody who will be able to look you eyeball to eyeball to tell you what you have done is not good. If there is none, they are so fearful of you and nobody can come to you, there is danger. There is danger. So what are the merits of living a holy life? The first one is in Proverbs 16:7. Proverbs 16:7. It says, when a man's ways pleases God, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. So when you live a holy life, you silence the opposition. That is in itself a motivation. The holy life makes gospel attractive. Let us look at Galatians 5:22-23. Because we have looked at the fruits of the flesh, let's look at the fruits of the Spirit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. That's another checklist. Does my life show love? Do I have the joy of the Lord in me? What about the peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? These are the fruits of the Spirit. Another checklist. Which one, which of these is missing from my life? I'm going to close like this. Isaiah 1, verse 9. Isaiah 1:19, I think. Isaiah 1 verse 19. It says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So to live a holy life, we must be willing to flee temptation. We must be willing to be obedient totally, surrender totally to what God is telling us. We must be ready to shun profane things and be separated to God. I won't read what is in verse 20, but if you go home, you can check. Your life and the way you live it, because you are in Christ Jesus, should be a worship unto God. 1 Peter 1:13, it says, therefore, guard up the loins of your mind, secure your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you should be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Amen. We shall take the next song. Which says, I will offer up my life in spirit and truth, pouring out the oil of love as my worship to you. In surrender, I must give my every part. Lord, receive the sacrifice of a broken heart. I want to enjoy you. If there is anything, if there is any cargo you need to throw into the sea so that you can be free.